morning, good day, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Hashtag From Coach to Coach, Hashtag Tokamantis. This is your host, Francisco. And today, we have a fellow coach based in UK. And she is Moon. Love that name, Moon. Welcome.
Thank you.
I was about to say her surname, but I was not. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. But Sade or Sade, Sade or
Sade,
Sade,
Sade.
Remember, there was a singer, right? Sade. So
yes,
that's not okay. Sade, perfect. We have Moon Sade, fellow coach based in UK. Welcome, Moon.
Thank you very much, Francesca. Thank you for having me on your podcast, on your show.
Well, I'm always ready to hear stories from my fellow coaches, you know, that Moon. So my first question, as usual, I've been doing this question, which is very interesting to start. Who is Moon?
Oh, I am a simple person, not very complicated. A mom, a wife, a mentor, a teacher, hopefully a change maker. Great dreams, great aspirations. Someone who wants to leave the world a better place than I came into it.
Nice to hear that. I like to be in the teacher. You know, I don't know if a teacher has the possibility to make changes. I don't know. I mean, that's something, you know, but I like what you said, change maker. What does that mean?
What
do you inspire? Let's say, put this way.
What would you like to aspire?
The change maker, yes.
I think that I feel that my purpose, my role in life is to inspire and to shape. When I was teaching, that was my purpose. It was more than just delivering a curriculum. It was opening minds and showing students possibilities and giving them the tools to think for themselves so that when they left school, they could see different things in life. And that's what I do now in my business. That's how I see what I do.
Yes.
Is showing people possibilities within themselves so that when they look at themselves, when they see what life holds for them, there's change, there's possibility, and they can step outside what the world says they have to do and find what they want to do and what they can do. And then I help them to see if that's possible and how they can achieve it. And in that way, change not just what the world says they can do, but what they see themselves being capable of doing.
Capable of doing. Must be a lot. But when you were sharing about being the teacher to inspire and to shape, right? I don't know if you're able to share, you know, someone of your, a student of yours that indeed he came back to you and say, hey, you know, you inspired me and thanks for shaping me out. You know, is there something you could share? Or
There are a few.
Nice.
There are a few. Some have gone on to do things that were expected of them, and some who have gone on to do more than what was expected of them. I have memories. I have a student who, when I first met him, was expected to just barely get through his GCSEs, not do much in life. He was, I don't know if you're aware of kind of like the borderline student, just expected to pass.
Yeah, not do much.
Yeah. And we spent two years, those GCSE years together. And by the end of the GCSE years, he was expected to kind of get a CD. He got just above a very good B and went on to do his A-levels and then got an apprenticeship that was better than what he was expecting to get. And then came back and was moving into a managerial position in the company where he had actually started his apprenticeship. And life had become something much more different than what he'd expected, because he was expecting to always just be kind of on the shop floor, not doing much, and being the skivvy as such. And instead, he was now moving into that managerial position and didn't expect that he would ever be there. It took years. It took some time, but he got there. And it was being able to see an aspiration that he never thought he could get.
It must be amazing that to be a lot of, you know, feeling the gratification that you could have as a teacher, that you are part of that, you know, shaping some life, you know, and that you are, at least you think that you are at least a portion of where that individual was able to come or to be, is because of you were there, right? Sort of. So I think very gratification, a very fulfillment in that sense. You know? But I still like this change maker here, Moon. So where is your change maker now?
Where it's taken me now is working specifically with neurodivergent and autistic youngsters. Okay. So,
youngster, you said?
Yes. Okay. I work specifically with 16, 17 to 25-year-olds. So still working with the age group that I spent my teaching career with, you know, teenagers into young adults.
Yes.
But I've narrowed it to working specifically with neurodivergent and autistic youngsters. And the reason I've done that is twofold. One is I have two children who are both on the spectrum.
Okay.
Yeah. So I know what it is to parent them. I know what it is to have children who are on the spectrum. I know the difficulties and the challenges that come with their lives. I also know the stereotypical expectations that society places on them and how that shapes their own view of themselves, the limiting beliefs that they have of themselves. But I also learn how little support there is for them when they are what I call high functioning, which is on the more able end of the spectrum.
Okay.
So they are the ones that need less medical intervention, that need less counseling, less psychological intervention, less therapy. And they are the ones that can pass through society without people realizing that they need more support, more help. So there's less available for them to actually help them in the ways that they need that help. And they fall through the gaps. They fall through the cracks. So I'm now stepping in to fill that gap.
Yes.
Because there's so much that says, you're autistic, so you're really good at technology. You're really good at math. And these are the things that you should do. But the reality is that just like every other person in the world, the spectrum of autistic individuals is so wide and so unique that they are capable of art and creativity and, you know, everything that everybody else is capable of. So you can't just say you're good at technology and you're good at math and these are the paths that you should follow in life, because some people hate that. And they're good at writing. They're good at creative endeavors. They're good at tech, at more practical things. They're good at people skills. And they really don't like numbers.
Yeah.
And they don't like technology. So you're pushing them into something they really hate. And statistically, only 20% of autistic adults are in employment.
Oh,
so
amazing.
Yeah.
What a nice number.
There's a huge, huge, huge untapped resource of intelligence and potential that we're just letting fall.
I like that word you said, letting fall. So in your case, what I'm hearing there as a moon, what you're trying to do is it's like you're trying to build a bridge, whatever it is, for them to have the full capability to reach their full potential, if I might say.
Yeah.
To able to cross the bridge, and by the end of the road of that bridge, it can be any.
Yeah.
That's what I said, what you're trying to, yeah? Got it?
Yes.
No?
Okay. Yes, very much so.
And I like also what you said about as anyone else. And so it's indeed they have a certain, you know, special needs, if you want, or gift or whatever. I'm personally, I don't know. I mean, I'm always confused how to name them, but they have a special needs. Okay. Yeah. Can you help me this? How would I?
The way that I phrase it and the way that I see it is just a different way of thinking.
Okay.
It's just the brain just works in a different way. The best way that I've explained it to my youngest is most people go from A to B in a straight line. And neurodivergent people, they take a little bit of an adventure to go from A to B. They get there, but they go a little bit of a wandering way before they get there. So they might see different things and they might find different things along the path and get a little bit distracted, but they do get there in the end.
They use different GPS. That's it.
Yes, that's it. That's it. We all get lost sometimes.
So how's your, it's fascinating, no? the way you're using your time, your experience as well, and your passion to work with with them. How is it? Where is it now? How is it moving? How where are you in this journey of yours?
It's a journey. So I've learned. So I'm also on a learning curve. I started working with parents because that's where I came from as a parent of autistics.
Yes.
And I started working with parents because I felt that was the experience that I had to share, the knowledge that I had to share, but also because I knew what the experience was like as a parent, being alone and isolated and feeling that there was no one to help me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I worked as an autism parenting coach, helping parents. And it was really fulfilling and rewarding to help parents to understand their children better. What I learned, though, was that the more than two decades of skill and experience I have with my own children, combined with the more than two decades of teaching and learning experience that I have, is not something that can be transferred.
Yes.
As easily.
Yeah.
And so my time was better served working directly with the young people themselves. Because something was being lost in translation going through the parents. And so I shifted. And the shift is a relatively recent shift. So it's a little bit of a transitioning phrase. But it's working well. Yeah. It's gaining momentum and building. It's building. Yeah.
Well, as anyone else, if you decide to take this journey, we embrace this journey as is. And as you said, I don't know if you're able to go to A to B in a straight line, or you're using also the GPS as should be and see how it goes now. So, but this is the interesting part of what I'm hearing is like, you as a parent of two autistic children, you're able to experience firsthand, right? Now you're a parenting or coaching parents with whom they have also autism in their family, right? And I suppose I can imagine like all these parents with all their effort is trying to give the best to their children, right?
Yeah.
My question here is, when they start talking with you as a coach in this neurodivergent individual, no, are they open? Are they quite skeptic, or they're waiting? I don't know. You know, like, what's your approach? What's the approach?
It varies.
Okay.
It varies. Some parents are a lot more open than others. Some parents are a lot more accepting.
Yes.
Because they've always seen a difference in their child, and they've always wanted to understand where that difference has come from, so that they can help their child and make things easier for them, because they can see the struggles and the challenges, and they just want to make it easier. And they are a lot more open to trying different things and putting in place the strategies and the tools to help their child. And then there are other parents who just want their child to fit in, and they're a lot less accepting of the concept that your child won't fit in with everybody in the exact same way. They won't be like everybody else, because they're not. And you have to learn to adapt to that. They just want a fix my child kind of approach. And it's not a fix. You know, your child doesn't need fixing. Your child just needs understanding and help to be the best that they can be.
You know, I think I mentioned you when we had a chance to talk, the first time. One of the things I read about autism is, like, we, the neurodivergent person, as a normal individuals, when we enter the world, we have to understand that it's a different country, different currency, different signs, different language, and also and so on and so on. And as any other country, they're good, they're bad, and everything like that. And that's why we, when we enter the world, we try to enter and understand, we are not the one to give what has to be done. We should be trying to adapt as much as a foreigner to understand what's going on in that country, in their world. And I like that. We cannot just enter and see how, this is not. What do you think?
Well, there is a place for all of us in the world. So, yeah, we as neurodivergent people, we do enter a different world. We enter a world that wasn't made for us, or isn't created to make things easy for us.
Mm.
So we do have to adapt. We do have to learn. We do have to understand the world that we live in. But equally, the world in which we live has to learn that we exist in this world. So
yes,
there has to be a bit of give and take on both sides. We as neurodivergents can't go into the world that exists and has always existed and say, you have to change immediately and give me what I want and what I need because I demand it. But equally, the world that exists and has always existed can't continue to exist in exactly the same way, because something different has come into that world. So there has to be adaptability. It's like when you take something into your body, you eat something, your body has to adapt to what it's taken into it.
Indeed.
It's that simple. It either adapts or it dies. And that is the world. It has to adapt to the fact that neurodivergent people exist. But we can't force that immediate change on the world. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So in that case, Moon, as a change maker, you're aspiring to change maker, where are you at this moment moving forward? Are you getting better? Are you getting more excitement to make these changes?
I am building momentum. Yes. My mission, my passion is getting attention. There are people that are listening to me. So I have been interviewed. Well, a big thing for me is being interviewed by Anna Kennedy, which mm-hmm. in the UK is really huge because she is Anna Kennedy OBE and neurodiversity campaigner. She's been recognized for her work in the neurodiversity sphere. So that was a huge thing for me. I've also been invited to collaborate and co-author a couple of books and share my story and the work that I do. So that is, you know, growing. I've been featured in the Conscious Wealth Summit on Expert TV. So its momentum is growing. And, you know, I've been invited to be one of their contributing panelists for 6 months. So momentum is growing. What I have to say and the change that I want to bring into the world is something that is recognized as necessary and important.
And just as you said, in this part of my episode, my podcast is like I would like to hear stories to share it. And I think you're telling the story as you have, you know? You're able to create that momentum in which you're able to express, to share, to be invited in different platforms and to be heard, you know? And that's in expanding as much the what you're trying to do, right? You know, change if you want, right? But if we go back to the real, you know, situation in which you're working with neurodivergent individuals, right? How is the process there? Is it there's a framework that you have?
Yes.
Or, yeah. Can you share a bit of what does it, that framework?
Yeah. I have different programs, but my foundation one is my launch pad. And my launch pad is it's literally a launch pad, which is, it's that starting process where you come into it and we start with looking at your strengths. What are you good at? What do you recognize about yourself that are your abilities? What are your strengths? Then we look at your challenges. So what are the things that you struggle with? What are the things that you have difficulties with? What are the things that hold you back from your aspirations? And it's not just professionally, but it's also personally. So it's holistically as a whole person.
Okay. Yeah,
because we can't separate the one from the other. So the things that are causing difficulties, the things that stop you from doing what you want to do, that hold you back in every way, from forming relationships, from the career that you want, from the steps that you want to take to be independent, to live your life as an adult, your aspirations, your goals, what people are telling you, what you believe about yourself, how you talk to yourself, your mindset, all of those kind of things. And then we look at the things that you want to do, and mm-hmm. how practical they are in a realistic sense, from strengths and challenges, how those go together and the practicalities of what you want to do. Then we look at how we can overcome those so that you can actually achieve it. And then I work with you about things like interview skills, things like your personal social skills, talking to people.
Yeah.
Some people are really, really bad with, they find social situations really difficult.
Yes.
So how do we overcome that? You know, there's coaching around interview skills, talking to people, cues. So nonverbal cues, looking at body language, just how to form relationships and things like that. And then next step. So where do we go from there? And it's a short program, but it gives a little bit of a foundation to start with.
Start.
And yeah. And then obviously, if you want to go further, then we have to go into the deeper programs, because it's not something that is a quick fix. So then we move into the longer programs that then work on your actual developing the daily skills and putting in place the routines and the habits that help you to develop your mindset, your beliefs, your routines, interacting with people, building up your social skills and your interview skills, your work placements. The aim, my aim and my next step is to start partnering with businesses and organizations so that as they go through my mentoring program, I have connections where they can move into work placements in an organization where I already have relationships and I can mentor them through the work process while they are in situ and work together with the businesses and, you know, put in place training in the businesses so that the business is able to support them as well and help them be successful in that way.
Now I'm hearing what the change maker is, Osmoon. It's another way. It's another way. You're changing the other approach to make things happen. That's pretty much.
It's a practical approach. It's actually doing the work.
I would say, if it works, why not?
Yeah.
Well, anyway. So we're about to reach our time, Moon, for your episode. I took a liberty to write down what one thing you said. Understand the world we live in. If you don't mind, I will take that quote as a title of your episode because I think that's we live in a world we are, but still we have to live as everyone, as you said. But we have to understand each other. And like that understanding has to have respect. To adapt is much, but there must be a respect for each of us. That's what I get. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I tell my children quite often, we don't live in a bubble as much as we would love to. We don't.
No, I think what I hear is like, there must be no bubble for that. I think we have to invite, everybody has to be there in the world we are living in and do the best we can. And Moon, as you said, you're pursuing the change maker for some of them. And if it works, why not? That's it.
We won't know till we try.
No, we'll do it. Anything else, Moon, before we close? Can you wrap it? If you want, you can wrap up by yourself, your episode.
The only thing that I would say to everybody listening is everything in life, one step at a time. You know, it's wonderful to have goals and aspirations, but you can only get there one step at a time.
Yeah. And today I got a very nice metaphor. Some people go from A to B in a very much straight way. But some people use different GPS. Hey, but still, they will be there. Moon, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time.
Love it. I heard your story. And definitely, people will hear it. Thank you, Moon. Well, good morning, good day, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Hashtag Coach to Coach, Hashtag Talk on Mondays. This is your host, Francisco. Until then, stay safe. Thank you.